At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hi, I'm Jim. Welcome to the Unbound Performance Podcast, where we explore the world of sports and performance mindset training.
And I'm Caroline. Each week, we talk about the strategies, habits, and mental framework that help us to excel. Let's get into today's episode.
Sometimes when you get excited, you're making like a really bold point. You get a little loud in the first beat, and then the audio goes and like shoots up, and then it cracks.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But it's good when you get excited. It means you've got really good things to say.
Yeah. Going crazy. Going crazy.
Yeah. A little youth sports dabbling again, huh?
Yeah. Well, there was an article on The Athletic again, and it was about youth sports, and it was interviewing Greg Olson, who longtime NFL player, now color analyst. But he's got kids in the like middle school range, I think he coaches the football teams that the boys are on. And then separately, I had someone send me the article.
Oh, interesting.
And I had read it, you know, like the day before they sent it. I think it's one of those topics that is just so many people are involved, you know, one way or another, and trying to figure it out and how best to navigate it is not easy.
It's just getting worse and worse. I think that in reading that article, he talked about my biggest takeaway was how he was talking about playing different sports is good because every sport has its own different culture, mm-hmm. and that can help build your kid differently. And I totally feel that. I didn't cut back on other sports till my sophomore year in high school, and then I was volleyball only. But I even find right now with my kids, like, I'm not looking every season to figure out, like, all right, can we, like, what's happening this season? What is the soccer now? Like, I don't know what seasons are what. I just don't. If a parent messages me and says, hey, does, you know, so-and-so want to play on our team and it fits our schedule, sure. But I'm not like, so I'm looking for these, you know, signups. You know, I want my kids to play and have fun and enjoy doing things. But if we miss a season, we miss a season. It's not like we're going to be at this point, you know, ultra competitive soccer players or whatever. And so it was funny because we were back to school last week and I ran into some parents. They were like, oh, you guys going to practice tonight? And I was like, practice for what? They're like, the Aces soccer team. And I was like, oh yeah, we didn't sign up. And everyone's like, what? It's just like, I mean, part of it is just my like type B mom version of myself where I just like don't know what's going on half the time. But at the same rate, I think I just don't let those things slip because they're not that important to me that my kids be plugged into something all the time. I think it's fine for kids, for what it's worth, my kids are 5 and 7, to have seasons where they just come home after school and they play outside and they learn that culture and then they learn other sports culture. And so I think the culture aspect and angle that he talked about in the article was the one I agreed with the most and the one I think a lot of people don't consider. They think about dabbling in different sports for the physical aspect of it and figuring out where your physical skills lie best. But I think the culture is far more shaping of your humans.
Well, and the difference in the way the sports are played, different things they emphasize in terms of competing, you know, whether it's, I mean, you talk about baseball with a little slower pace where there's a lot of time to think and you have to manage all of that versus, you know, like basketball or football or soccer where there's somebody like right up on you and how do you learn to compete in that kind of environment. So I think all of that has definite value as well. I think probably the thing that's driving all of this now is continues to be parents feel like their child is falling behind.
Yeah.
Like if they're not playing whatever sport it is all year long, it the age of 9 or 10, they won't make the junior high or middle school team, or never mind, you know, playing college or something like that, missing out on scholarship opportunities, which, you know, and this with a cost of college, it's utterly insane. I get why that drives it, because I think that did drive this at the beginning and continues to have a huge impact on the whole youth sports world. But you know, he made a comment in that article about, are we raising professional athletes or professional people? And I really like that. Plus, I think it's enormously important to learn how to struggle and fail and compete. And he, you know, he talked about at some point you're going to be the last kid on the bench. Like, at some point you're not going to be batting third in the lineup. You know, you might bat eighth or ninth, yeah, or not be a starter.
Yeah.
How do you handle that? And I know I've been in the college world before and have plenty of friends coaching collegiately. That is one of the huge issues. These kids come, they're used to being the best player on their high school team or club team. Their whole identity is wrapped up in that, and then bam, they are in a situation where everybody was the best player on their high school team, and they don't start right away. How do you handle that? How do you struggle and keep fighting and learning how to do all that? That is such a huge part of the value of youth sports to me, as well as, you know, just learning how to be a good teammate and how to care about your teammates and play together and, you know, kind of come together for a pursuit of a common goal. You know, all of those things really matter. But there's so much money involved. I know we went to Atlanta this summer for baseball, and my kids are 12 and 14, son's 12, daughter's 14. There was one of these big baseball superstores there, and I mean, you could have spent a fortune in there on stuff that I never, I mean, I grew up playing baseball. Nobody ever had.
Right, all the gadgets and tools and, it's crazy.
But, you know, you kids see them on TV, you know.
Yeah.
College or pro athletes wearing them, and so, oh, that's cool.
Right, gotta have it.
And I get it.
Yep.
But, man, it's a heck of a landscape to navigate.
Yeah, I look back and, you know, think about, I mean, every now and then I think about taking my kids back to school for like new school shoes, or I don't take them to the store, I just hop on Amazon and get it. And I remember, I mean, I grew up with the internet, but not like the kids today grow up with the internet, sure, right? There wasn't, you know, a million shoe stores you could access and get them tomorrow. And I just remember seeing someone at a big tournament with a different pair of shoes or a different color scheme I hadn't seen before. Because unlike the internet, we can scroll and see all the colors. Unless you saw someone wearing them, it wasn't really like... So I think there's also that influence, too, of what they see and therefore thinking that we need to have all these things. And it sort of takes... Well, not sort of. It really takes away from the sport. Like my 5-year-old son, you know, the big glasses the baseball players are wearing now, like he wanted a pair of those. And he's playing T-ball, you know, like, but he sees that that's what he calls them, his baseball glasses. Like he sees that that's part of it.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I thought this, you're bouncing off your comment about failure. And I wanted to read this so that I didn't butcher it, but, he talks about how, like, we don't think we want to teach our kids that losing is okay.
Right.
And I think we hear that sometimes. And he specifically said, he said, now when they're 5 or 6 years old learning T-ball, I'm not talking about those kids. I'm talking about middle school, 12, 13, 14-year-old kids. They're old enough, in my opinion, to start learning about what competing looks like, what wins and losses are, and connecting the hard work to wins. And I think that's something that he said specifically when he was comparing the different sports and the cultures. Mm-hmm. He was saying, you know, in football, you learn the lesson that you're going to get hit and you're going to wake up bruised and people are physically coming at you and you have to decide that you're going to get up the next day and still go to practice anyway when you're sore. Unlike, you know, baseball, you might be sore from something else, but people aren't just like attacking you the whole time. Yep. And I think we often, well, I assume oftentimes when people hear us talking about, like, you know, focus on the mindset part, like winning will come, or that like winning doesn't really, we never say like winning doesn't matter, but I think people maybe tend to think that we're just trying to say like, well, it doesn't matter if you win or lose. It does matter if you win or lose. Like, we're not discounting that at all, but talking about not just did you win, but the competitiveness and the drive and the work that goes into that, and then the lesson learned when the win's not the outcome.
The idea of winning, like if winning or being successful and whatever, if that's everything you hang your whole identity and sense of worth on, then it makes it really difficult to win. I think you can use winning as like motivator, you know, set goals, great. But you have to, and look, like, we've all seen it, like, whatever, the Super Bowl, like, you come within a hair's breadth. I was reading an article in the Seahawks when, you know, they were in the second Super Bowl in a row after winning one, and they were right down there on the goal line, and a lot of them thought they should have called a running play. They wound up calling a passing play. It was intercepted. They wound up losing the game. That team did not recover from that.
Yeah.
And I guess there's a book coming out, and I think what I read was an excerpt from that. But they tried to have a meeting about it in the off season with the coaching staff, kind of explain what they were thinking, try to have some healing or whatever. It did not work. And so there's no way you can just sit here and tell someone in that situation that, well, you tried hard, you know, and it's about the process. Nothing.
Well, for them, that either, process has been the entire season leading up to that moment that didn't and pan out.
Their lives, like they had a chance to go back to back, you know, become one of the few teams ever win that. Two Super Bowls in a row. And so for us to sit here and suggest that the winning isn't that big of a deal, it's a big freaking deal. Yeah. But if you want to give yourself the best chance to win, you lock in on what you're doing right now. And then you keep doing that. But I think when it comes to youth sports, you know, your point, like when they're 5, 6, 7, yeah, they want to win. My son wanted to win. He was 4 years old and he was like, keep score.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're like putting it back to zero on the scoreboard. Like, he was having none of that. And it's not like we were going home and telling them,
right,
you know, you better win, or, you know, yes. That's just how it is. That's how he was, how he still is. But I think learning how to compete, like when you don't feel great, or when you look over there and the other team looks really good, how are you still going to compete with everything you've got? Try to find a way. Like, how are you going to get up and keep coming? How are you going to rebound from mistakes and overcome adversity? Those are all the things that, one, they're much more important than whatever the event is. And they carry through, like, for the rest of your life. Hopefully that's, you know, the goal for all of this youth sports stuff, which is what he meant about professional people as opposed to professional athletes, whatever.
Yeah, he was talking about comparing, like, even probably when I was growing up, about definitely when you were growing up and when he was talking about, and Greg Olson talking about growing up, but for him and for you, like, when it was baseball season, you played for your right. local town yep. team. When it was basketball season, you played for your local town team. There wasn't all these, he talks about the choices that we now have of, like, which club and which team, and kids going to four different high schools in 4 different years. And not allowing your kids the opportunity to not be a starter or not be the best. So we just bounce them all around and move from here. And at the end of the article, because he ends the article with the simple question, what are you going to do about it? Talks about he wants his kids to experience failure when they still come home to mom and dad, not when they're 20 and they're off on their own trying to handle it. Like teaching them how to experience failure when they still have that support system around them. Yep. To learn how to deal with it the right way. He said, we want them to come home and be embarrassed and struggle and have their weakest moments at a younger age because we can develop skill sets for dealing with those emotions. So I think that's, again, building the people specifically is just sort of giving them, you know, when we yank our kid from team to team to team to always have them be in the top team or the winning team or the starting position, you're not giving them that chance to fail or to feel like they need to compete to get where they want to be. And then just like you said, and we've said a million times, when they get to college where everyone was that number one person, learning that lesson your freshman year are the kids that can't hang and don't cut it for the four-year career.
Yeah, it's really tough. I loved that part where he talked about we don't want them to experience, you know, like failure in an athletic sense first time when they're 20. Because that's a real slap in the face. And your point about the choices, right? I mean, it was all... whatever, you'd play football and then you'd go play basketball and then you'd run track or play baseball. Yeah. You know, that was just how it goes. And you're with the same guys all the time. And now it's, you know, a proliferation of year round programs and everybody's trying to pick which will be the best one and give me a leg up. And, you know, they bounce from travel program to travel program, just like they do sometimes for high schools. Although I think now the travel program kind of movement is maybe even more because of people view rightly that most of the recruiting for college is done in those travel situations. But then the bad news with that is they carry that mentality right into a college environment. Well, I'm not getting what I want here, so I'm going to go over here and, you know, portal, and you don't have to sit out.
Yeah.
And I've said this 500 times in this podcast. I'm not against transferring or against the portal, but I am using it. I'm against using it as some kind of way to avoid
adversity.
Yeah. And instead of developing the ability to struggle and overcome and keep fighting, to me, that's inspirational to watch somebody do that. And it's so meaningful in terms of how they're going to live and what they're going to teach their children. What's the name of his organization? Youth Incorporated. Yeah. After, he's still an NFL broadcaster, but he also has an organization, Youth Incorporated, where they try to help people manage all of this stuff and address these topics of genuine concern. I hope we never kind of poo-poo the idea of the struggle it is to just trying to figure this out and navigate it well, because it's very difficult. I mean, it's coming for you. We're in it.
Yep.
And it's, you're just trying to surround your kids with the best kind of people possible, quality people that they should be around, and, you know, people who care about them, as well as, you know, develop, you know, skills and things like that.
I think that's the thing, right? Is this environment that we live in with youth sports is not going away.
No.
So how are we going to respond? So we still have the choices. We still have the pressures. We still have I love that there was one, I'm glad I remember this. There was one part where he said, if at some point you're playing for a coach who says you can't play another sport, think about it. That's a coach you want to be playing for. And I think that's just to your point, is we still have to make a choice. We still have to maybe narrow sports at some point along the way, whatever that is. But in making your choice, rather than which is the most reputable team, which one's going to have the most exposure to whatever, where are the people that are going to make my kid the best kid that possible? And hopefully sports ends up being you know, a part of that.
Yeah, because I mean, I know people who try to discourage you from having anything to do with travel sports. And that's, I just don't think that's realistic. Especially if you have someone who has designs on playing collegiate athletics, like, okay, or professional, then well, that's just not going to happen. That you're not serving them well. So then trying to give them things to think about, and, you know, like Greg Olson's doing with his organization, you know, formally really trying to help navigate all of this stuff. That's where it's at. Like, just trying to ignore it is, I don't know. That seems unworkable to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, to everybody who's a parent watching and has kids in this, there are resources. There are people to talk to. And don't think you've got to try to make the perfect decision every year. Like, because there isn't going to be one. Just do the best you can. That's what we're doing. Yeah. And, you know, there's good things and bad things about it. Every decision we've made so far. Just try to do it with the best interests of your child as a person, as a whole.
As often as possible.
Yeah.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Unbound Performance Podcast.
Your support helps us continue to build our community. If you're enjoying this content, please like, subscribe, and share.